So welcome back to The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Nicole Higgins, director of the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas, and you're listening to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio. We're here this evening with three amazing women, all of us connected to the Caribbean somehow, and all working towards the opening of a beautiful show next week at the National Art Gallery on the 15th of April. It will be open. Again, I do need to reiterate, we are not having one of our big, giant, like, jamboree openings because of COVID-19. So while we miss those community events, we are just having like, a nice kind of slow burn opening, but the show will open on Thursday. And of course, we would love to see you as soon as possible, but the show will be up for several months, so you have a lot of opportunity to see this beautiful new suite of works by Lynn Perotti, a Bahamian painter based in London, who we've been speaking to. And also we have Dr. Tatiana Flores with us, a professor at, did I just make you a doctor? I think you are a doctor, aren't you? I never know people's titles. I'm terrible about that. I'm always like giving things. So anyway, she is a professor, definitely, at Rutgers University in the Department of Art History and Latino and Caribbean Studies. And Allison Thompson joining us from Barbados, who is teaching at the Center for Visual and Performing Arts at Barbados Community College. And of course, we've got Lynn with us too. And we are meeting from New Jersey, Nassau, London. And where in Barbados are you? Are you in the capital?
In St. James. So just north of the capital.
Just north. Okay. So we're all meeting from our various isolated areas, but it's good to all be together. And so Lynn, like, how are you? I mean, it's a very basic question, but how are you feeling about having your solo show at the NATB? Because, and how's it been for you to like watch the institution grow, and what's that meant for you as an artist, really, and as to work with these kind of amazing scholars to support your work? And, you know, how did you find community really through this kind of very broad, I mean, again, we're all in these four completely different countries. How did you do that as an artist, kind of making your way to where you are now?
I've always been passionate about being Bahamian. It's me. I'll never want to be anything else or, you know, identified as anything other. And what I'm so empowered by at the moment is the amount of creativity and amazing artwork that's coming out of our country. And so you ask, you know, by the younger artists and even, you know, the artists of my age who are still very, very active and changing their work and keeping it all current and keeping it all moving along. And I think the NAGB has been a sort of a hub for all of that in addition to what John Cox had started at Pop-Up and all of the other smaller sort of satellite galleries and now the current. And you asked about what it feels like. Well, I'm absolutely thrilled. And although it's been a complete roller coaster of emotions due to COVID and stress, I mean, it's been quite difficult because, you know, I've had to ship my work, which I don't like shipping an entire show. And, you know, it's created a like 50 times more work because you have to document everything. I don't normally do it this way. But at the end of the day, I consider myself very lucky because it's our national institution and we have one. I think this is very important that we actually have one to bring us all together. So I am thrilled. And, you know, it has to be said that there's been moments this time last year where I was quite tearful because, you know, I live on a very busy ring road on Kew Bridge, which has Kingston Hospital just up the road from it. So every 5 minutes at this, or even nearer in time, this time last year, there were ambulances. That's all you could hear. There wasn't any Easter. There wasn't any birthday for me. There was simply the sound of ambulance and also the worry about my loved ones in the Bahamas, because obviously, you know, we have hospitals here to deal with this onslaught, but we don't have these things in the Bahamas. So all of that said, I'm thrilled that we're coming out of it, and I'm very delighted to have the show there finally, and I can't wait to come in June, everything permitting.
Yes, for the catalog signing, and I want to thank both Tatiana and Allison, because the show was such a long time ago, this was supposed to open a year ago, and by the way, a future happy birthday, Lynn. It would have been nice if we could have opened the show on the birthday, but just a few days after the mark. But Tatiana and Allison, you know, you both had to kind of go back and revisit your essays in a way, because, you know, we tied, of course, like what's happening with the oceans and what's happening with COVID is really, it's all human related, right? It's all related to people consuming too much or doing things that are somehow unnatural or like making food in weird ways. So I want to thank you both because, you know, both of you had to go back and like a couple of times we were like, oh, can you change it one more time? And can you change that statistic? But I just want to thank you for writing the essays, and I'm excited to see it finally published, and hope you can make it out at some point. We would love to have you come down here. Is that on the cards, Tatiana? Can we like get you down again? Maybe.
I'm counting the days. I have the first one, so I really can't wait. I love the Bahamas, and Lynn just shared a video of the making of the work. I don't know if it's going to be in the exhibition, but it was it's lovely, and so just seeing those crystalline waters, it's really the Bahamas is my favorite beaches in the Caribbean.
Yeah, and I remember actually when I first started, you came down and gave a lecture at the NAGB. So we have to get you back down again because you do have a really strong connection. And I remember when Relational Undercurrents was just kind of like the seed. And I remember we were in a car in Miami and you were like, oh, I'm thinking about this show. And, you know, I'd love to include some Bahamian artists. And it's wonderful to see how those seeds kind of flourish and how these kind of, again, like how we create community in this very kind of bizarre way, because we have these short amounts of time normally where we cross paths at a biennale or actually in the airport. Sometimes I run into curators like in Miami airport. Allison, you're pretty far down there in Barbados. Like how is it for you to create? I mean, do you go back to Canada often? Like how do you as an art historian like continue, you know, Tatiana very powerful to and actually no, so did you both did. I'm getting confused now, but to seeing the work, to like really, we talked about slides. It was you, Allison, seeing the work in person. How do you, you know, I imagine for Tatiana, it's a little bit easier because you're in the US, even though as a professor, you probably, it's not so easy to travel, but maybe you can get to other institutions like in the US or Canada. How are you as a kind of Caribbean art historian? Do you stay current? Do you stay connected? Do you, again, create this community that we have here?
Yeah, the last year and a bit has been just such a strange time. So I think everybody is just longing to travel again. I mean, already there are just so many shows going on right now. You know, I'm in New York. I would love to get to the Bahamas to see Lynn's work. But I think, you know, we've found other ways and means given the current circumstances. So the fact that there have been so many online talks with artists,
yes.
So many opportunities for studio visits. And I think, you know, I agree with Tatiana. I think the film that you've made for Lynn's show is just spectacular, particularly because it will allow visitors in the Bahamas to be in Lynn's studio and to see that space where she works. And, you know, that kind of travel from her studio in London to the landscape in the Bahamas, it really provides a great glimpse at what it means to move between spaces at a time when we can't do that anymore.
Yeah, and I think it's something that was so necessary for all of us, right? This ability to travel was like a really important, you know, and I think as Caribbean people, you learn to do that, but, you know, you learn to kind of hustle and like you manage to get a flight paid and then you sleep on a friend's couch and you kind of just figure out a way to get around to like stay in touch with people. But again, I have to say, I'm not taking any credit for that amazing film. That was all Lynn. And I have to big up Lynn here, too. All I can say, Lynn, is if you know, you should give a masterclass on the other side of being an artist, because I think a lot of artists don't realize how much admin there is and how much, again, you know, documenting the work, creating the lists, like making the, like you said, it was really a challenge. And since normally you travel with the work, that you had to ship it. So I think that's also a really important thing just to say, is that if you're thinking about an art career and you're a practicing artist, don't underestimate the amount of admin that you have to do, which is, again, brings us back to sort of institutions and galleries. And they're so important because very often institution or the gallery that will support the artist that way. You know, and that's, again, why institutions are so important. What's happening in Barbados with your institution? Is there going to be one?
So I am the deputy chair of the board of the National Gallery here in Barbados.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is something that I've been doing on and off for 30 years. The push to get our National Gallery has been a very longstanding one. And the government has just recently designated a building to us, and we're in the process now of starting to raise the funds. So it does indeed seem like it is happening. I think, you know, one of the things that we have worked on over the years without a building, without a permanent location, is building up the collection and doing a lot of public programming. And so I do have friends who work in institutions elsewhere in the region who say, in some ways, that's a little bit of a blessing because it allows you to kind of build on that infrastructure ahead of actually getting the building, which sometimes can be overwhelming in itself.
No, absolutely. Listen, yesterday I was walking around the NAGB with a fellow museum professional, and I was just looking at the building, and I was like, oh gosh, again, I've got to paint it again. So the responsibility to take care of the actual space is a whole other thing. And how in Venezuela you must be a little bit more ahead of the game, Tatiana, than the rest of us, because I know that in Latin America has had such a kind of thriving art scene for so long. Is that something that in your community is beloved?
Well, that's a very loaded question given the current government in Venezuela. So a lot of people would tell you that they destroyed the arts. I think it's more of a matter of differences of opinion of what constitutes legitimate art. Mm-hmm. So, they're very loaded topics, but in...
Well, and it's difficult because institutions are under so much, they're being scrutinized now for very good reason because of, you know, different practices and, you know, how they came up during times of colonialism. And so it's kind of really interesting because on the one hand, you see the benefit of kind of dispelling with institutions and starting again. But at the same time, when you come from places that have never had institutions, you also sort of see why they can be so necessary. So it's this really complex question.
Just look at the mural projects that were going on through the NAGB all throughout COVID. To me, that was an inspiration because I was just like, they're making art. They're taking it into the community. And this is very, very important because it lifts the soul.
Yeah. And that was a very conscious decision to go outside the walls because, again, I think that's one of the issues. So, I mean, I think it's very interesting what Alison said is that, you know, somehow it's a benefit to not have the building because it almost makes you something that this pandemic has done for us has made us realize, even though we thought we were doing a job in the island, because we were always thinking about actually physically taking the objects because, again, you know, you want people to see the object. And that's very difficult to create and to ship and to find a space in Long Island where you can show an exhibition. And also we're thinking about getting bodies in the institution, right? That's kind of one of your metrics as a director, like how many bodies are coming in. Mm-hmm. And when you start to like get away from that and say, okay, we're not going to worry about bodies coming into the institution and we're not going to worry about physically going, how do we still reach all the people? And I have to say, I think we've grown substantially in who we're reaching during the pandemic. And that's real food for thought. I don't know how it is in the educational system, Tatiana. I mean, in universities, you're teaching at a major university. Do you feel like we're becoming somehow more open and democratic because of the pandemic and the ability to like reach, or does it become even more narrow?
Unfortunately, in my case, it became narrower because it really exposed a gap in wealth among students who might otherwise just show up in your classroom. And instead, it turns out that a lot of students didn't have their own computers, didn't have working internet at home, lived with extended family, and didn't have a quiet place to which to log in. So that was really unfortunate, and it showcased all the more the inequities in our society.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, so certainly we had to struggle with that, which is why we did the mural program, because again, we were kind of like very aware of the fact that not everybody would be able to go to a Zoom webinar, or so we tried to kind of have that dual track. But it's interesting, Alison, you know, how you've been kind of again building out the institution through not having a building. I don't know. So this is why these conversations are so important, is to like learn from each other about kind of what works and what doesn't work. But I'll be excited to have him. And I'm hoping, sorry, Allison, you were going to say?
No, I was just saying, you know, one of the, you know, we're all longing to return to normal, but I think, you know, one of the things that we keep saying is we need to go back to a different normal. One of the things that this has forced us to do is to rethink how these institutions and these relationships function. So, yeah. and as Tatiana said, to you know, acknowledge the reality of the inequities that are right in front of us that we might not have acknowledged.
Yeah,
Lynn? But also I think we need to acknowledge humans' absolute necessity to interact face to face. So we don't want another "The Machine Stops," you know, by E.M. Yeah. Foster, which I read at St. Augustine's. I was thinking about that book, that short story, the whole time throughout this pandemic, because actually we do need to see and touch each other, and that's very, very important. So, but there was something I wanted to mention today that if we have time, do we have time?
Yes, go ahead. We got five more minutes.
Five. Okay. So to end on a very shocking note, this came up in the news last night in the UK, and it's all about a Piney Point phosphate processing plant in Manatee County in just outside of Tampa in Florida, which is bursting its banks. And they're doing like a huge amount of work to try to get it under control, because if all of this phosphate and all of the byproducts of making fertilizer and other agricultural runoff go into the water system, then we're going to have algal blooms all over that region, all over the Everglades, all over again, even in spite of all the efforts to clean it up in the past 20 years. So this is very, very important. And this is some of the work that I've been doing for ages and ages, is all about algal blooms, or red tide, as other people know them as. So it just happened. It was just sort of almost a coincidence that this very unfortunate event could be happening this weekend over the Easter and just before this talk. Anyway,
and just before your show opens, which is all about highlighting these things.
And right? Well, it's just so close to our environment, obviously. And, you know, it just makes us realize how fortunate we are in the Bahamas that we have all the tides and the currents to push everything away. But I'm just very nervous to see how it's going to pan out. And I hope they get it under control. But I also really wanted to publicly thank Doctors Allison Thompson and Tatiana Flores for all of the work they've done for me. And Amanda, your support throughout this whole pandemic for me. We had some conversations. I was like, "Are you going to cancel my show?" And she'd be like, "We are not canceling the show. We are going to do the show. And this show is going to happen. And this is the NAGB. And we don't give up. And that's that." And then I got pissed right off at COVID as well. I was like, you know what? I'm really going to have to give this 110%, because you cannot succumb to adversity when you're an artist. You have to find another route. Even though if it wakes you up at 4 o'clock in the morning, you have to still get up and just do the work you feel like you have to do. Otherwise, what is there? What's the whole point of being an artist?
Yeah. Or an art historian. I think we all are in it. I think we're all in it because we care so much, right? And when you do, you never stop. And that's why I always said that. I was like, there's no way the show's going to get canceled. There's no way. It's just going to happen. It's going to happen, and we're going to make it happen because it's important. And I think, ridiculous, but we live in a tiny country. So if you're listening in Canada, it's not such a big deal that it sounds, but I wrote a letter to the Prime Minister because for a while, you know, the museum wasn't open. And I was like, listen, I understand the food store has to be open, and I understand the drugstore has to be open. Really, cultural institutions have to be open too, because first of all, we're not all rubbing up against each other like we are in the food store. And we need, as humans, we need that nourishment. We need that nourishment of culture and of, you know, thoughtfulness and of interacting and of, you know, having these conversations. We need that as much as we need food and drugs and air to breathe. So I end there. Tatiana, any last words for us?
I hope to join you on June 7th for the book signing.
Yes.
I'll do my best. Yeah.
Right. Well, of course.
Just so you know, I'm jumping up and down right now in my living room on my own.
Well, I was going to say, like, tentatively, I do hope that we can all be together for the catalog launch on June 7th. That would be amazing. Certainly the catalog launch. But I'm not sure I can guarantee everybody there, but certainly Lynn will be here, so you can visit her, and we'll have an artist talk. And Allison, we really hope that you make it as well.
I would love to come and see the show. I know it's just going to be so beautiful and meaningful and a really great event.
So I just want to thank you all for being here tonight. Tatiana Flores, professor at Rutgers University in the Art History and Latino and Caribbean Studies Department. Allison Thompson from Barbados, teaching at the Center for the Visual and Performing Arts at Barbados Community College, and on the board of the soon to be opened, we hope, a national museum once the building is, once all that fundraising happens. And of course, our huge thanks to Lynn Perotti for just sticking through it for this year and making the beautiful paintings and getting them to us. And all of you in the Bahamas can come and see them next week at the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas on April 15th, and that will be up through September. So there's plenty of time to come see it. I want to thank you all for being here tonight. And I want to thank you, Bahamas, for listening to The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Amanda Coulson, the Executive Director of the National Art Gallery, and you've been listening to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio. Thank you so much for listening, and have a great night.